a nest. It should be a safe place, a place where you can feel secure, a place of belonging. And being in a family is a bit like being in a nest, because it should be a safe place, a place where you can feel you're safe, a place where you feel that you can be accepted for who you are. But it's interesting, isn't it, that most safe places will have a structure. There'll be boundaries. You know, if you go over the edge of the nest, you'll fall out and you might get a little bird. If it goes over the edge of the nest, it'll fall out and get hurt. And so we've been thinking about some of the structures, if you like, that we've been talking about, like doing Bible readings in the tent, or maybe doing the prayer thing with the cards. These are things that you can have as regular activities in your families that can build in that structure to help. Now, when our kids were younger, and I think it's something we still continue, and they laugh about it now, but we always have pizza night. Saturday night is pizza night. Okay? So if you're ever wondering what I've had for tea on the previous night when you see me on a Sunday, it'll usually be pizza, all right? So you can always ask me whether it's pepperoni or whether it's margarita. So if you want to ask before. But there's other things which I think are much more special that I remember about being a child, and that I remember about my young years. My grandma would always, in a greeting card, would always put the verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. A Bible verse. And I remember at my granddad's house in Tilehurst, he had a little sign. And I want to just read it so I make sure I get it right. It said, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. And that was something I remember. And memories are really important for us as children as we grow up. That structure, those things that we build into our children's lives, is helpful so that when they grow up, these things they can take with them and carry with them. So I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of work and thinking again. Are there things that you do or that you have done in your family, maybe when you were younger or maybe you do with your children now, that you think are really special, that bring back good memories to you? Or, you know, whether you're as a parent or as a child, are there things that you remember that are very special to you? So have a little chat amongst yourselves in maybe groups of 2, 3, 4, maybe in your family or maybe with other families around you. What is special that you remember from your young years? Or if you've got children, what you might want to ask them what they really enjoy and what's special. So just talk amongst yourselves for a few minutes. And if you don't want to talk with other people, then you can just sit quietly and think about what things were special to you when you were young. We can think about routine sometimes. Although we repeat them, children very often enjoy routine and enjoy having the same things done. So thank you for sharing those ideas. And that idea is that what happens to us when we're young very often shapes the person that we are. And this is why the verses that we were looking at earlier about children obey your parents and about fathers don't exasperate your children. So as parents, we are supposed to care for our children and not frustrate them, but nurture them. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The prayer cards we thought of were an example. Making a tent and having a play about, it's not playing, but it's sort of modelling and showing by example good things to do to encourage our children to be in the faith. The other thing that as parents and as children we have to be mindful of is how we interact with our family, how we interact with our children. And our words can be very, very powerful. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healing to the body. It's very easy for us to say things that we don't really mean but can be hurtful. We're doing a course here, a series on marriage and relationships and singleness. And some years ago, Andrea and I went on a marriage course. And one of the things they mentioned is, do you ever use the word never? Or do you always? So you might say, well, you always leave your socks on the bathroom floor. Or you never do the washing up. Or you always... Actually, is that word always true? It's not always true. So just be careful, you know, how you use the words that you do use. And I've mentioned that word nurture. Do you know what that means? It means help something to grow, to become like a flower. You nurture a flower. And I'm thinking, I've got a clematis, which is a type of climbing plant in my garden. It's not in flower yet, but it will be, hopefully, before too long. But it's got a trellis that it grows up. Now, I don't every day go out and move a particular frond and control it so that the frond goes over that particular part of the trellis. But I've got a framework there, a structure that the clematis can grow up. It can flourish. It can be nurtured. And it will grow up towards the sun. It will grow up where it can be nourished by the sun. And that's what we should be doing for our children. We should be giving them a framework in our homes that helps them to understand and to be able to grow, both educationally, physically, but also spiritually, so that they can have an understanding of who God is and that they can grow towards and love the Lord their God. Now, one of the things that we can do, too, for our children as parents, is we can pray for them. We can pray for our children in their present circumstances, at school or university or college or wherever they are. We can pray for the friendships that they make, the friends they have. They're very important, who you have as your friends, children, boys and girls. It's very, very important. And pray for relationships and for your future. And that's something that Andrea and I have done frequently for our children. We've prayed for them frequently. We've covered them in prayer. And I've got a bit of an exercise now I would like you to get involved in. Well, actually, you're all going to get involved one way or another, even though you may even just stay seated in your seat. But you are going to be involved in this, in that it's an idea for prayer, covering in prayer. I've got a rather large covering over here, and I'm going to need some help covering you with it. But we're also going to cover you with a parachute to sort of give you a visual demonstration that you're being covered. So you have to hold up nice and high. I hope you're feeling strong. And then if you go right the way back to the edge, to the aisle at the side, right the way, you're going to need long arms. Okay, hold it high. Okay, can you reach? Is that it? Okay. And then we're going to need to... So, Andrea, can you help now? Andrea's going to pray for everybody. So, and then we're going to walk across everybody and we're going to cover you in prayer.
So, Father God, you know each one of us by name. You called us by name. You know our names. And I just pray for every person this morning in this building, at Argyle Community Church, that comes under this banner of a parachute. But Father, no, they come under your banner, which is love.
Don't pull.
And I just pray that each one that comes under this parachute today will experience and come to a deeper knowledge and understanding of your love for them and your hand upon their lives, Lord, and your blessing upon their lives, your blessing upon their families, your blessing, Father, upon their children, a blessing upon their children's children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, Father. And may you, O Lord, be the head of their homes, the head of their marriages. I pray blessings over marriages of any married couples that are here this morning. I pray your blessing over their marriages, Father, and blessing over their relationship with you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. And I'm just going to finish by praying this blessing from the Word of God over each and every one of us from Numbers chapter 6 that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his shalom, peace, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrea. We thought earlier on at the beginning of the service how God's love endures forever. God's love is unconditional. He knows about each one of us. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in my heart, what's in your heart. And not all of it's good, but he still loves us. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners." We've all been born into families here on earth, physical families. But Christ invites each one of us to be born into his family, his spiritual family. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, who's an important man in the Jewish community, who's struggling to understand what Jesus is all about. And Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot know what it is to be part of God's family unless you're born again." And boys and girls and adults, my challenge to you this morning is, have you been born into God's family? Have you become a follower of Jesus? Because that's what he calls each one of us to be, followers of Jesus as part of his family. And being a child of God is so wonderful. It's so exciting. He accepts us for who we are and encourages us and nurtures us and wants the best for each one of us. If we put our trust in him, he will surely deliver the promises that he has said. Because he is a God whose love is all-powerful. His love is amazing. And he sent his one and only son. And Andrew read the verse at the beginning. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm just going to ask you, if you just close your eyes and bow your heads. And maybe you've never made that commitment to being part of God's family. Would you like to do that today? If you would, I would like to invite you to say this prayer along with me now. Just say it silently in your heart. As I pray along, just say this prayer silently. If you would like to commit your life to God, if you'd like to be born again. "Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to die for me. Lord, I know I have done wrong things. I have sinned against you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive my sin. Your word tells me that you would forgive me if I confess my sin to you. And Lord, I turn away from those wrong things and I ask you to come into my life so that I can be born again as a follower of Jesus. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your goodness to me by dying on the cross for me and taking the punishment that I deserve for the wrong that I have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen." Keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, so if everybody keeps their eyes closed, but if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, do you want to just come look at me and put your hand up, or just raise your hand a little bit and I can know you've prayed that prayer? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else who prayed that prayer with me? Okay. After the service, for those of you who did pray that prayer, you can open your eyes now. For those of you who prayed that prayer and you would like to find out more of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, come and speak to me or speak to Andrea afterwards. And we'd like to share more with you about what it is to be a follower and see if we can help you to be nurtured, to grow in your faith as a young Christian. So thank you for listening.